Measly Medicine, a horrible science book by Nick Arnold, illustrated by Tony De Sals. A horrible book. Read by Vienna Vance. Introduction. If there's one thing worse than being ill, it's getting cured. I mean, who actually enjoys seeing the doctor and taking vile medicine? It can really leave a nasty taste in your mouth. I hate medicine. It's enough to make you sick. But as this book shows, there's more to medicine than pills, ills, and dreary doctors. Just listen to Dr. Grimgrave, our very own miserable medical expert. Medicine is the science of health and any treatment for ill health. And it's good for you, so stop complaining. Dr. Grimgrave's got a point. Medicine is about healing, and we all need it because we all get ill. It can even save your life. So read on to find out where medicine came from and where it's going. You'll discover that medicine in the past was even more measly. There were rotten remedies, odious operations, murderous medical mistakes. Oops. You'll end up wickedly well informed about them all, and who knows, you might even give your doctors a taste of their own medicine. Don't bank on it. Well, one thing's for sure. Being ill won't seem quite so bad. Marvel Healthcare. We're watching a TV hospital drama. We're losing him. Call the crash team. You've got to save my brother. I'll do whatever it takes. Stand back. Here goes. Hey, what happened? My hero. What tripe? Come to my surgery and I'll show you what real medicine's all about. Before we drop in on Dr. Grimgrave, there are a few things you need to know. Everything you need to know about Dr. Grimgrave, but we're afraid to ask. Name. Dr. H. Grimgrave. He won't tell us his first name. I bet it's embarrassing. Age. Wasn't that him on the front cover? Surely he's not that old. Job. Local doctor, often known as a physician, general practitioner, or GP. Dr. G provides primary care. He treats sick people. No treats doesn't mean he takes patients to the zoo and buys them ice creams. As if. It means he gives them medical treatment. If necessary, he sends them to hospital. Secondary care. Likes an empty surgery. Dislikes idiot patients who aren't really ill. Don't mention baldness. Dr. G is rather sensitive. Oh, and don't laugh whilst you're reading this book. Dr. G is extremely serious, even when he tells dreadful doctor jokes. Okay, you can read on now. A day at the doctor's, Dr. Grimgrave has agreed to let us watch him treating one of our sick readers. There are lots more sick people in his waiting room, and it's a great place to find out what can go wrong with a pure, battered body. Say, arg. One, disease. There are hundreds of different diseases. Some can be inherited from your parents, but many are caused by germs. Microbes such as bacteria and viruses. There are several ways in which germs can sneak into your body. By being breathed in, by being eaten or drunk, through a cut or wound, and they multiply, poisoning and killing the tiny cells that make up your body. When this happens, it's called an infection. 2. Unhealthy lifestyle. Some diseases are linked to an unhealthy lifestyle. For example, doctors blame heart attacks on eating too many fatty foods and lack of exercise. Smoking is linked to heart attacks and diseases such as cancer. 3. Injury. The body can get injured through accidents or violence. It can suffer broken bones, cuts to the skin, burns and scalds, rashes and bruises, stab or bullet wounds. What happened? It's a sore point. Sore childbirth. Getting pregnant and giving birth can cause great changes to a woman's body. In the past, giving birth was dangerous and many women died. See page 116. 5. Old age. Even if you survive disease, injury, and childbirth, old age catches up on everyone, although your ancient teachers will probably not admit this. The weakening of the body in old age causes problems such as failing eyesight, loss of hearing, and painful joints. Dr. Grimgrave says, ill health and disease get to us all in the end. Tell me about it. At last it's our turn to see Dr. Grimgrave. We knock politely on his door and enter his consulting room. He greets us with a question. What seems to be the problem? My nose is blocked up. The effects of diseases are called symptoms, and doctors are trained to spot them. Bet you never knew. 17th century doctor Thomas Sydenham, 1624 to 1689, described the symptoms of gout, a painful disease of the toe joints. This is more or less what he said. The victim goes to bed and sleeps in good health. About 2 o'clock he is awakened by a severe pain in the big toe. It cannot bear the weight of the bedclothes, nor the movement of a person walking in the room. The night is passed in torture. Throb. Thomas Sydenham suffered from gout. He was writing about himself. The doctor will want to find out if the disease is something you've inherited or is linked to your unhealthy lifestyle. Blocked noses run in our family. How unhygienic. In fact, the doctor won't always believe you. Many people claim to eat healthier food or take more exercise than they really do. Doctors often make notes about what you tell them. This is because they are too busy to remember anything anyone tells them. Notes used to be handwritten, but nowadays most doctors use computers. But you never knew. The doctor's handwriting is said to be almost impossible to read. In 2000, a hospital in Atlanta City, USA, gave doctors handwriting classes. Is anyone brave enough to suggest a handwriting class for Dr. Grimgrave? After asking you about our symptoms, the doctor will often examine your body. He or she will be looking for obvious symptoms such as redness, inflammation, spots, rashes, lumps, swellings, or a furry tongue. The doctor might also take swabs or samples to be tested in the lab for disease-causing microbes. General practitioners often use equipment to help them examine the patient. Here's a very rare glimpse inside Dr. Grimgrave's medical bag. Sphygmomanum annum, for taking your blood pressure. Stethoscope for listening to your heartbeat. Cabbage sandwiches, medical thermometer, hammer for testing your reflexes. I'm going to take your temperature. Why, haven't you got one of your own? At last, the doctor has enough information to say what the patient is suffering from. This is called diagnosis. Let's watch Dr. G in action. Dr. Grimgrave in Cold Comfort. You have a disease known as a common cold. A cold what? Is it serious? No, it's quite amusing, actually. Ha ha. The doctor will tell you how the disease is likely to develop. This is called prognosis. There's no cure for this disease. I'm gonna die! Whoa! But not yet. You'll get better in a week or so. The doctor may suggest you take medicine or tell you how to treat your illness. This is called a prescription. You should rest in bed and take a painkiller or a cough medicine if you really need it. Drink plenty of fluids to replace that are lost in sweating. See me in a week if you're not feeling better. Good day! Next. In fact, 80 or 90% of all diseases are healed by the body's own anti-germ defenses based on white blood cells. Your superb cells work together like an army to wipe out the gruesome germs. Some act as sentries that spot the germs. Others make anti-germ substances called antibodies that can kill or glue the germs together. Other white blood cells gobble up the gum-together germs. And the bottom line is that many patients don't need to see a doctor in order to get better. So that's what happens when you see the doctor. But now an incredibly important point. Ahem. An incredibly important point. Everything you've seen in this chapter was invented by someone. Let's find out who these incredible inventors were. Blood transfusion. A transfusion is when a patient is given blood to replace blood they've lost through injury. It was made possible by Austrian scientist Karl Landsteiner, 1868 to 1933, who found we each have one of their blood groups and only certain types will mix. He was no clot. Groan. Tube connects to patient. ECG machine. Brainy Bockens call it an electrocardiograph. Sensors attached to body. Monitors tiny electrical pulses made by the heart. It was invented by Dutch scientist Willem Einthoven, 1860 to 1927 and 1903. Defibrillator. Zzz, a machine for shocking failing hearts to make them beat. It was first used to save a life by U.S. surgeon Claude Beck in 1937. Diagnosis, prognosis, and prescription. Invented way back in around 400 B.C. by the glorious Greek physician Hippocrates. See page 25. Medical thermometer. Albert's design, modern digital version. Invented by Thomas Clifford Albert, 1836 to 1925, in 1867. Before then, thermometers were 30 centimeters long and took 20 minutes to work. Sphygmomanometer. First invented by Julius Harrison in 1835, but improved a lot since then. Stethoscope. Invented by French doctor René Laennec, 1781 to 1826, in 1816. Got the idea? Everything in modern medicine was discovered by suffering scientists and dedicated doctors. The rest of this book tells the whole sickening story of medicine complete with brilliant breakthroughs and measly mistakes. Our story begins in a cave about 20,000 years ago. Cough, splutter, I feel dreadful. Don't worry, I've just invented medicine. Awesome ancient doctors. Stone Age people had some surprisingly effective treatments. Mind you, one of them was as welcome as a hole in the head. I know, I tried it. 5 surprisingly effective Stone Age treatments. 1, setting bones, using a splint to hold the broken ends of a bone together so that it can heal. Splints are still used today. 2, amputation. That's posh medical speak for cutting off diseased arms, legs, fingers, toes, etc. Modern surgeons still do this in an emergency. 3, healing herbs. The herb catnip grew near Stone Age houses and it might have been grown as a remedy for upset Stone Age stomachs. Mind you, catnip drives cats wild, so it might have been for playful prehistoric pets too. Catnip, catnippers. 4, stitching wounds. Stone Age people probably knew how to sew up wounds using bone needles. Modern surgeons still stitch up wounds, although they don't use bone needles. 5, trepanning. And if you think that's hitting a tree with metal pan, you really do need your head examined. It means scraping a hole in someone's skull with a sharp piece of flint, or drilling a hole with a pointed stick until their brain was revealed. Oh well, it helps to keep a cool head. Those Stone Age surgeons must have been bold even if they left their patients bald and old. Grr, baldness is no laughing matter. No one is sure why Stone Age people did tree panning, but it was amazingly widespread. Skulls with holes in them have been found all over the world. Valuable health learning. Surgeons still use tree panning to release a buildup of pressure in the skull, for example caused by bleeding on the brain, but only an idiot would try it at home. Hear that? Don't try tree panning your cat, slash dog, slash little brother, slash teacher. I don't care if they suffer from headaches, and no, they won't thank you when they're older. They probably won't live that long. Why not practice your skills on an innocent melon instead? Dare you discover, tree panning a melon. What you need, a melon. Latter melons are good because they're green on the outside and red and mushy on the inside. Just like a sickly human patient. A sharp pencil, a table knife, a blunt one, a felt pen and a touch of artistic flair, tweezers. What you do? 1. Draw a face on your melon. If the face happens to look like your teacher, you're on your own, okay? 2. Press the point of your pencil gently into the top of the melon. Place the pencil between your hands and rub them backwards and forwards to make the pencil drill through the melon's skin. 3. Take care not to drill into the melon's brain or flesh. You don't want to kill your patient now, do you? So when you've drilled one hole, drill another 6 or 7 about 2 centimeters apart so they form a circle. 5. Use your knife to cut between the holes. Once again, take care not to damage the flesh. Your melon will be bleeding juice, but you're a doctor, so a bit of glitter won't put you off, will it? 6. Use your tweezers to lift off the circle of melon and expose the brain flesh underneath. 7. Hopefully your melon will be feeling a lot better, but if it doesn't survive the op, you can always eat it with your favorite topping. And you can't do that with a human patient. Slurp, splurp. Sickly cities. About 9,000 years ago, people began to settle in cities, and you might think that was a good thing. I mean, there were lots more shops and pizza restaurants. But cities were sickly. There were more neighbors to catch diseases from, and scientists who study ancient mummies have found they suffered from diseases that people still get today. Dr. Groomgrave is examining a measly mummy. This mummy is unwell. It needs to unwind a bit. Ha ha. TB. That's tuberculosis. A lung disease caused by bacteria, pustules from the deadly disease smallpox, arthritis, a disease of the joints, broken bones, worms and guts, bad teeth. The Egyptians tried thousands of treatments, so which of these would you try on your mummy? Larval Health presents ancient Egyptian cures you'll be dying to try. Toothache, don't suffer in silence. Try a new rodenture. Split open a mouse and lay its warm body along your gums. You're sure to squeak through, even if the mouse doesn't. Under the weather, try new garlic gargle. Now with extra garlic, it's guaranteed to tackle terrible toothache, and it's sure to get rid of sore throats and unwanted visitors. Try it on your dog, and his bark will be worse than his bite. Ugh. Is this toe good to be true? Accidents will happen, but if you find yourself short of a few toes, don't despair. Egyptian doctors have invented the Woody Tiddler Wooden Big Toe. Lovely choice of woods and colors. My toenails look great with wood varnish, and they never need cutting. Satisfied patient. Tired of weeping wounds? Cure your cuts with new Milky Plops. Pooey Pong. Milky Plops contain the finest high-quality poo and full cream milk. You plop them on your wounds and they'll heal in a flesh or flash. It's a sight for sore eyes. If your eyes have cloudy areas, cataracts, why not try Brainy Balm? It's made from genuine, chopped-up tortoise brains mixed with honey. Smear it on your eyeballs morning and night to put your sight right. Scratch. I've never heard such piffle. These treatments were useless. I'd try them, but I haven't the heart. Well, I bet the tortoise brains helped your memory. You might have got turtle recall. But to be fair, Egyptian docs were only doing their best. And some of their medicines included germ-killing substances, such as honey and the plant myrrh. But you never knew. One Egyptian doctor, Imhotep, lived around 2900 BC, became a god. Incredible Imi could diagnose over 200 diseases and perform surgery. And that's not all. He became prime minister to King Djoser and designed the famous Step Pyramid. I bet that was a step up in the world. Imi was made a god in 525 BC, and he would have felt divine if he hadn't been dead for more than 2,000 years. Better late than never. The glorious Greeks. Like their near neighbors, the Egyptians, the ancient Greeks had a doctor god. His name was Asclepius, and some experts think he was once a real person. If you were poorly, you went to the god's temple to ask for help, and stayed for a sickly sleepover party. Larval Healthcare presents Barely? Glowing Moon. Come and stay at our luxury temple of Asclepius. Instructions. 1. Sacrifice a ram. Bring your own to the gods. Eek! Take a bath. It's the best route to a clean bill of health. And you can wash off the ram's blood. 3. Go to sleep. This cure works like a dream. In the night, the god visits with his daughters Panacea and Hygieia. Well, hello. 4. You wake up cured. Or maybe. Well, if you don't, you can always enjoy an extended stay with lots of massage and a nice healthy diet. Blast, bring me another ram. The small print. 1, our temple is crawling with snakes. But don't worry, they're symbols of healing. 2, if you die, don't tell anyone. It's bad for business. In fact, we'll hide your body in the woods. 3, it doesn't cost anything to sleep over, but you have to give us a gold model of your pearly body bit. It could cost you an golden arm or leg. Notice anything? The ancient Greeks reckoned healing was about gods rather than science. Like most ancient people, they didn't imagine ill health could have natural causes. Bet you never knew. The ancient Assyrians, who lived in present-day Iraq, believed that disease was caused by up to 900 spirits. Some lived in your food and drink. Adults still feel ill after drinking spirits, but it's not quite the same thing. One of the first people to suggest that disease had natural causes was a top doc named Hippocrates, 460 to 377 BC. As you can see, he lived to a ripe old age. Well, you didn't expect him to live to an underripe young age, did you? Hippo was a teacher. He taught under a plane tree on the Greek island of Kos, and I bet he made everything plain to his students. It's said he wrote over 60 books, but other people may have written some of them. Anyway, here's a selection of Hippo's sayings to share with your ancient Greek teacher. Old people endure hunger best, next the middle-aged youths, and worst of all, children. It's not true. I'm starving. Do not judge poo by its quantity, but by its quality. I'm not so hungry now. The old are ill less than the young, but carry their illnesses to the grave. You've gone too far. Sudden death is come honoring the fat and the thin. Grr, I'll give you sudden death. Hippo had a huge impact on later doctors, and I don't mean he jumped on top of them. Measles medicine fact file. Name? Hippocrates and his huge impact on medicine. The basic facts. 1, Hippo's oath sets out the rules, some of which doctors are still expected to follow. See page 30. Now that's what I call doctor's orders. 2, unlike earlier docs, Hippo advised medics to observe their patients. Disease wasn't due to gods or spirits. It was all down to natural causes, he said. Measly details. Hippo got it all wrong when he tried to explain these natural causes. Read on to find out why a little humor can be a dangerous thing. Horrible humors. Hippocrates reckoned that everything was made of earth, air, fire, and water, and that included the human body. According to Hippo, people were made of earthy, airy, fiery, or watery substances called humors. They are black bile, yellow bile, blood, and phlegm. By the way, phlegm is not only the gloopy stuff you cough up, it's also mucus, or snot. Hippo thought that people got ill because their humors were out of balance, but he was wrong. Humors don't make me laugh. He's got no sense of humors. The trouble really began when the Romans used Hippo's ideas in ways that actually harmed patients. Revolting Roman medicine. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, Roman surgeons were good, especially their army surgeons who got lots of practice treating wounds. Can you guess why? One superb surgeon, Aetius of Amida, knew how to tie arteries, the vessels that carry blood from the heart, over 1,000 years before our doctors relearned the skill. The bad? The Romans tried some terrible treatments. If they suffered from fainting fits, they drank the blood of dead gladiators. Slaves were given cabbage as a treatment. The cabbage cure was invented by politician Cato the Censor, 234 to 139 BC, who claimed that cabbage cured all known diseases in cattle and slaves, but especially cattle because they were worth more. He wrote about his discovery in a book. Here's a verse version. Cabbage is a vegetable. It's very good for you. It's all you need to cure diseases, and it's tasty in a stew. You can eat it cooked or eat it raw or put it where you feel sore, and if you have a headache, you can stick it on your head. You'll soon be feeling better if you're not already dead. Cruel Cato advised slave owners to get rid of slaves who weren't cured by cabbage, and if the slaves survived, I bet they ended up with a bad bottom burp problem. The ugly? The most important doctor in Rome was a Greek with a really ugly temper and even uglier ideas. Galen, A.D. 130-201, was a brilliantly brainy, big-headed, bossy bully, so of course we just had to meet him. Fortunately, there's a TV show that digs up dead celebs for that final farewell interview. With us tonight is Galen. So what's it like to be dead? Dead brainy. I'm a bird stiff. You started your career at the gladiator school where you studied wounds. Yes, I had a stab at it. You were doctors to several Roman emperors. By Jupiter, I was a genius. Your books were read for 1,500 years. It's a pity they were wrong. You what? You believed in humors. You said that blood is made in the liver and gets mixed with an invisible, life-giving gas in the lungs and gets used up in the body. You tried to heal wounds with pigeon's blood. All wrong. You'll find more of Galen's measly mistakes on page 80. Continued. Is it true that you had a terrible temper? Grr, who told you that? Don't kill me, this is a live show. Grr. It was humors that did the damage. Hippocrates didn't bleed patients too often, and to be fair, nor did Galen, but reckless writers such as Cornelius Celsus, 1st century AD, reckon that if too much blood caused disease, then bleeding made you better. And you could get rid of other humors by raising painful blisters, or making yourself sick, or making yourself poo. Grr, these treatments are mostly useless, especially the last two. They stink. European doctors use these terrible treatments for hundreds of years, so let's leave them to it and check out what was going on in the rest of the world. The Measly Medical World Tour. All over the world, measly medics invented their own ways to heal their even more measly patients. So where would you prefer to be sick? 1. Give me a hand or I'll kill you. 2. I'm getting a bit steamed up. 3. I've herb all about your cures, doc. 4. Eek! Ouch! Ouch! Okay, I get the point. 5. We still take our medicine by the Galen. 1. North America. Chants and sweat lodges to purify the body. Medicines used include herbs, buffalo stomach stones, and an enemy's dried fingers. Well, that's a handy remedy. 2. South America. Traditional Mayan and Aztec medicine based on herbs and steam baths. 3. India. The great Indian doctor Charaka writes a book on medicine around 1000 BC. Indian docs are trained in herbal remedies and seriously sensational surgery. 4. China. Traditional Chinese medicine starts with Emperor Huang Di around 2600 BC. Lots of herbal remedies and acupuncture. See page 34. 5. Middle East. Arabs conquer the area in 7th century AD and preserve books by Galen and Hippocrates. Okay, they preserve their measly mistakes too, but nobody's perfect. Most towns have hospitals, and universities teach medicines. The end.